Chapter 9. Time with my new family. I visited my family again the next day, and my mother was still very excited to see me. Kalu introduced me to his wife, son, and daughter. I loved meeting my niece and nephew, and I was so happy to be an uncle to Kalu's and Shakila's children. We had tea together, and then we started talking again about our lives. My family asked me about my wife and children, and they were surprised that my girlfriend, Lisa, was not my wife. In India, most people get married before they reach my age of 30. Shakila and Kalu told me about their lives. Because Gudu and I were gone, my mother could pay for them both to go to school. Shakila was now a teacher, and Kalu worked in a business. I was happy for them, but their life was not always easy after losing me and Gudu. Kalu had to leave school before he finished. He had to get a job and look after my mother and Shakila. He never forgot the pain of losing his brothers. Shakila said she was sometimes frightened of sending her children to school. She did not want to lose them too. But we did not have only sad conversations. We laughed a lot too. One funny story was about my name. It was not Saru, but Sheru, which means lion. I have used the wrong name all my life, but after so long, I will always be Saru. While I was with my family, I thought about the word home that everyone kept using. Was that where I was, finally? I did not know. I was lucky. After being lost, I was adopted and I had a good life in another country. I was also a different person, an Australian. I had a family and a home in Hobart with the Brileys and Lisa, who all loved me. But finding Kandwa and my Indian family felt like coming home as well. I was loved here too, and this place was where I was born. When it was time to go back to Hobart, it was difficult to say goodbye to my family. I promised to come back soon. Lisa and my parents were very happy to see me when I came back, but they were nervous too. What if I did not want to live in Australia anymore? I said to them, "Finding my family has changed me in important ways, but I'm still Saru." They wanted to know all about my Indian family, and I told them everything. One thing happened that was very surprising. In both India and Australia, people were interested in my story. Newspapers and TV programs wanted to talk to me. I never wanted to be famous, but I thought that I should tell the world my story. Maybe telling it could give hope to other adopted children who wanted to find their lost families. During this time, I often spoke with my Indian family on the internet. They did not have a camera on their computer, but they could see me on mine. When I went back to India for the second time later in the year, I learned more about my family and my mother's life. I was trying to learn Hindi, but it was taking a long time, and I could not speak it well. Luckily, we still had Cheryl to help us. My mother said, "I never lost hope during all these years. She, Kalu and Shakila searched for me for a long time, but it was impossible. They could not show people pictures of me because they did not have any. So, because she could not find me, my mother decided to stay where she was. She never left Ganesh Talai, waiting for me to come home. That way, when I came back, I could find her. She never stopped believing that I was alive. I understood this, because I felt the same. I still remember seeing my family in my mind when I was a child in Hobart. I remember the messages that I tried to send them in my mind to tell them that I was okay. Both Kalu and Shakila wanted to visit Australia one day to meet my family and see my home, but my mother was not strong enough to travel so far. I wanted to do one last thing, which was to go back to Kolkata. I got a train from Burhanpur, which was, of course, very strange. The journey was 29 hours, which was much longer than I remembered. So my 1,000-kilometre search was wrong, because it was not far enough. I was very lucky on that night when I found Burhanpur on Google Earth just by chance. The train today had a lot of people on it, so why was the train I got on 25 years ago empty? There were so many questions that I could not answer. As the train got closer to Kolkata, I saw lots of train tracks and the huge red Howrah railway station outside the window. There were so many trains, and I understood how a 5-year-old boy could never find the right one. When I got off the train, I stood in the crowds of people all hurrying through the station. It was just like when I was a child. I could remember how frightened I felt and trying to ask people for help. Inside Howrah railway station in Kolkata, 25 years after I left it. One of my biggest reasons for coming to Kolkata was to visit someone important. Mrs. Sooth still worked for ISSA in the same building. When I walked into her office, her eyes opened wide as she looked at me. She was much older now, but she remembered me. "Your face has not changed," she said, smiling. She asked me about my life and about both of my mothers. Then she found the forms and identification of me from my time in Kolkata. There was information about my adoption and pictures of me as a child at Navajivan and with the Brileys. There was one last place to visit, which was the area near the station where I lived on the streets. As I walked around the small shops and cafes, smelling the food, I remembered how hungry I was at that time. I walked to the wide river and saw the bridge, which still looked huge today. It still had crowds of people walking across it and people begging at the side of the road. Finally, I went to the place where I went swimming with the other children. I almost died in the water here. The homeless man who pulled me from the water must be dead now. I stood by the river and thanked him for saving my life. It was time to go home.